Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Michael Montelongo, Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Financial Management and Comptroller. And joining us in our conversation is Glenn Graham. Well, Michael, I understand the Department of the Air Force is in the process of transforming itself to include its financial management operation. And I guess I'd be interested in learning about the transformation. My first question is sort of why now, especially while we're at wartime, and I'm reminded of your analogy you just talked about building the airplane while you're flying it. So it seems like perhaps a high degree of difficulty.
Actually, a very great question. I must tell you, Paul and Glenn, that I vividly recall 9/10, the day before 9/11. And on that day, the Secretary of Defense, Don Rumsfeld, gave, a milestone speech titled Bureaucracy to Battlefield. And basically, in that speech, he was outlining his plan. Actually, it's just at that point, it was more of an evolution of a plan that he had already introduced when he came into office. But this one was a bit more specific about taking sort of the negative aspects of bureaucracy that we've all heard about, that in many ways pose stumbling blocks and barriers to good government and effectiveness and efficiency, and diverting all of the resources that go to those kinds of barriers, if you will, over to battlefield, if you will, the tooth of Defense Department. So basically what he was doing was rallying the troops and exhorting all of us to say, folks, we really have to move forward here and begin to translate all of this stuff that we have been experiencing from a bureaucratic point of view into more productivity and more capability. So that's the whole notion of bureaucracy to battlefield. And then all of a sudden, 9/11 hits. So one would think, as your question implies, gee whiz, how can you continue to be on a sort of a transformation journey while you're also fighting a war? Well, I would tell you that the global war on terrorism increases the imperative for change. It actually makes it that much more imperative for us to do the kinds of things that the Secretary was laying out in 9/10, the day before 9/11. The President and the Secretary laid out a vision when they came into office for a much more agile, nimble, flexible, lethal, and integrated force, supported by a business operation or a set of business operations, back office if you want to use that term, that are just as agile, just as responsive to the warfighter. And then my boss, Secretary of the Air Force, and General Jumper, the Chief of Staff of the Air Force, have basically taken that charter, that mandate, to say in the Air Force, we're not about necessarily platforms. We're about building, sustaining, and strengthening capabilities. Well, golly gee whiz, if that's what the institution at large is trying to do, then it's imperative upon me and my financial managers to support that kind of change, to support that kind of transformation. We have to be every bit as sophisticated in our financial service delivery as the weapon systems that we support and the warfighting concepts that we support. That's what transformation is all about. So, for me, I have explicitly told our folks that when we grow up, metaphorically speaking, we have to be strategic partners to our commanders, to our decision makers. We have to be the ultimate choice for financial and management information that is reliable, that's timely, that's accurate. And we have to be part of a world-class team that is delivering the absolute best in customer-focused financial services, but primarily what I call decision support services. That means I want to make a distinction there. I'm drawing a distinction between sort of the analytical capability that we can deliver versus transactional kinds of services.
Human capital, that is getting the most out of people and helping to promote top performance, is a major challenge in the federal government. How many people work for you, and what are you doing to help them develop their potential?
Human capital, people stuff. Man, I tell you, you've hit a button for me. That is a key piece that I spend a great deal of time on, because if we're going to succeed at any of the kinds of things that I've sort of been outlining with you and our listeners, it's going to be because we have dedicated, committed, skilled, competent people that are doing the nation's work, frankly. In my shop, I have something like 150 people, and that's supplemented by partners in business, yourselves, for instance, and you know this, Glenn. And across the Air Force, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier, we have something like 10,000 individuals that are doing financial management work across the Air Force. And you know, what we're doing to manage their careers better, to give them the tools, the skill sets, the competencies that they need to succeed each and every day, we have embarked on a what we're calling a force development process, meaning that we're now in the process of developing, training, educating, grooming, growing them purposely, purposefully, on purpose, rather than sort of a pickup game or an ad hoc game, which I think we had been doing in previous decades. It's important that we do that. Business, as you know, does or puts, and some of the better organizations in business, put a premium on succession planning. And the idea being there is that you're actually on purpose looking at your talent and strengthening that over time and on purpose putting people into the right positions so that they can grow and ultimately take the reins of leadership in the organization. That's what we're doing with this whole force development concept in the Air Force and in financial management.
We noticed that your office is working with Harvard MBA summer interns. I'm curious about the objectives of this program and what type of work they do over the summer.
Paul, in addition to strengthening the folks that we currently have on the payroll and doing the kinds of things that I just outlined, we also have to be very mindful of bringing in new talent. You know this very well. One of the challenges the government at large is facing is the aging issue, that a large percentage of the public service workforce is in the retirement window. And now, thankfully, we haven't lost any, at least in a large scale, that leadership capability, that skill leadership capability just yet. But, I mean, as time goes on, it's inevitable. So we have to be mindful to be sure that we can bring in some new talent. My view is that we ought to have every bit of an opportunity to go after our fair share of America's top talent. You know, and I don't want to make light of this, but certainly, you know, we're in a war, global war on terrorism, but I also tell our people we're in a war for talent. You folks are after the same talent that I want. In the past, we, I think, maybe unconsciously, have ceded the first-tier talent to business. So we haven't aggressively recruited at first-tier schools like Harvard or Wharton or Stanford or Chicago or any of those places. Well, I say we need to do that. We need to visit these young people and say that in addition to the plethora of choices that they have to pick from, there's another one that they haven't heard, and that's public service, and that is as every bit as rewarding and challenging as any other opportunity. And this is an area, public service, of all the areas in American society that needs that kind of first-tier talent that is being produced at places like Harvard and all the other places that I was talking about. So what we're doing is going through an experiment to see if we can introduce this young talent to government, to public service, and see what they think. Because they've never met a government person before. They've never met somebody in uniform before. All they've heard is what they read in the papers, if you will. And we also want to introduce our people to this top talent, because all they've probably heard is, oh, these are these young whippersnappers who think that they know everything and they're Wall Street types who are, arrogant and so forth and so on. Well, I got to tell you, this is our third year. We're going into our third year of this experiment. We're bringing in an intern this summer. Last year we had four, and the previous year we had one, and it's been marvelous. Those young people roll up their sleeves, go in, and really do nuts and bolts work with our people, and they have impressed the pants off of our folks. Our folks really are marveled at the dedication and work ethic of these students, and in turn, the students, when they leave, the feedback that they've given me is that this has been an experience of a lifetime. Although we haven't yet gone to a point where we've hired them, we're looking to to at least plant the seed in them that public service is an option that they may pursue in the future.
That's fascinating, especially the people focus. Transformation also involves technology and process. How is the Air Force addressing these? We'll ask Mike Montelongo of the Air Force when the Business of Government Hour continues.